Hello and welcome to Weekly Beats, the podcast in which two guys give you their perspective on the week in music. My name is Charlie.
My name is Mark.
And this week on the show, we'll be diving into the latest album from Queens of the Stone Age, California Desert Rockers. They are here with their seventh album. It is Villains, and they are ready to prove to you that they are back with a vengeance, a fuzzy vengeance. Josh Homme and his gang of misfits have got another one up their sleeves. After that, we'll talk a little bit about the highest-ranking song on the Billboard Hot 100, which this week belongs to 21 Savage, and that song is Bank Account. So we will chunk it up into little 30-second morsel pieces later on. We'll spend a little bit of time on the back half of the show talking about everything else we've listened to, and we're back at it. Mark, here we are on Labor Day. It is the end of the summer officially, and you know what, ready to like it or not, here it comes the fall.
Yeah, I mean, it's fall time right now. I'm looking out the window, and I'm seeing all of the death slowly coming into view as we prepare our way towards the endless winter of our future.
I've put on 35 pounds in the past 2 weeks preparing for the long winter's nap, so I hope you too can start gaining weight with me.
Well, I've actually been losing weight. I've been planning on fitting into one of your crevices for warmth.
Oh, great. Yeah, that'll go really well then. Once my husk starts to decay, you can use my extra fat as warmth as we burrow into our den through the winter months.
Yes, and if the unfortunate does come to pass, and you come to pass, I will tauntaun you.
Yeah, I have fully given you the rights to do so.
It's a legally binding document I've given to you. Oh, man, I don't know. I've just been watching too much Werner Herzog or something, man.
What, you're in the funk?
Well, I'm seeing everything on this timeline of truly the poetry of man is that it is a language of death.
And as I look into the eyes of the wilderness, I see nothing but contempt for life.
Well, it's a little heavy on the German there. I think it's not quite right.
That was like a Werner Herzog who just did a jog. It's a little out of breath.
Yeah. As I was walking through the forest, I noticed that I was thinking very much of vanilla spiced lattes, and then I began to question my existence, wondering why I am here. What is my purpose in life?
Do you ever...
Still not right. Still not right.
Do you think Werner Herzog, when he goes for a run, do you think he likes to run outside or on a treadmill?
Oh, definitely a treadmill. That's much more his personality.
Yeah, you think so?
Constant, never reaching its destination. Like Sisyphus of mythology, I too will pursue cardiac activities while running in place for minutes on end. It is unceasing torment, and yet it is how I must survive.
All right, well, let's get into some other villains of the world, some villains from Queens of the Stone Age. Mark, this is a big album for me, as you know. I've been eagerly anticipating the next piece from these guys, one of my favorite rock bands. And I know that you are always the first person to kickstart things up, but, you know, let me just get into a little bit over here today, because we got to talk some villains, man. We gotta kickstart this thing.
Oh my goodness, you're kickstarting up over there. I'm like way behind the game.
It's that orange, man. It's that sweet Mountain Dew orange.
That's the best wine.
Woo! Woo!
You feel alive?
I feel a live wire racing through my veins. Is that a different energy drink?
Probably. I feel like actually the cover of Villains is actually like that was what Josh Homme was trying to like. He was trying to explain that's how he felt when he took an orange kickstart, how it felt.
Yeah. A little red man clutching his hands over his eyes.
Yeah.
Given the FU signal in the UK.
Is that what that is?
Yeah. The backwards two.
Oh. I thought he was throwing out the peace sign.
No. No, definitely not.
Oh, man. I'm an idiot.
Yep. Let's talk Villains, man. This is a big album, an important album in a lot of ways for me. You know, I have been a huge fan of Queens of the Stone Age for quite some time. We talked Songs for the Deaf on an after school special, how foundational that album and this band was to me back in high school. And they've been kind of out of, They were out of work for some time, and it wasn't until 2013, gave us Like Clockwork, that the Queens of the Stone Age announced that we are back and ready for more action. And I loved that album. I thought it was a great return to form. There was a lot riding on that record, I felt. You know, after Era Vulgaris, that kind of flopped, and I think most folks would say is the least interesting of their albums. There was a lot of pressure on them to come back after an extended hiatus and deliver what they had done before. And they switched up their sound a little bit, got a little more mellow, a little more croony. But I think Like Clockwork is one of the best albums that Queens of the Stone Age has put out. And so here we are with Villains. We're in the post-Like Clockwork era. And man, I got to tell you, this thing is good, but this thing is a disappointment for me, Mark. This is not quite what I was looking for in a Queens of the Stone Age record.
Oh, man. I thought you were going to get another kickstart moment. I was going to hype you up, but now I feel like I got to be your cheer up, man, instead of your hype.
So here's the deal. We got the announcement back in June that this thing was going to be produced by Mark Ronson. And around the same time that we got that, we also got the first single, The Way You Used to Do, which I had voiced previously on the show as being not super interested in. And sort of felt like the energy was sucked out of that song. Very bass light. And I think Queens of the Stone Age, I think, you know, pummeling bass heavy tracks. And so I was concerned and confused and a little apprehensive of what was coming here. We got The Evil Has Landed as a single a couple of weeks ago, and I thought we were back on track. Things were going to be good. This was more what I was looking for. And while there are songs on this thing that I think are fantastic, I think The Evil Has Landed, it's one of those fantastic classic Queen songs. I'm feeling just kind of middle of the road on a lot of this stuff. And there are places in each of the tracks that I like, but also a lot that I'm not feeling a whole lot. And I did a lot of kind of introspection on this thing, trying to figure out, is this Mark Ronson's fault? And I really don't think it is. I think the production on this thing still sounds good. It sounds consistent with their sound that they've established on previous albums, specifically like Clockwork. And I just think it comes down to a number of these songs aren't all that interesting. There are some cool ideas sprinkled throughout, but it's, for me personally, not doing a whole lot, man.
Yeah. I didn't necessarily have the stakes you did going into it. Like, I was just perfectly content to just see, you know, whatever happens, happens. And I will say, having listened to The Way You Used to Do before this, because you had introduced me to it, I think The Way We Used to Do is like dire. You know, it's just totally like you the energy sucked out of it. It's very clean. It feels like a kind of made for TV rock song in some ways.
Yeah.
And I will at least say, though, that listening to this as an album is that there are, to me, definitely some highlights. Like, once the album opened with Feet Don't Fail Me, I at least had the feeling that this was still a Queens of the Stone Age album.
Totally.
And not just a bunch of new alt-rock wannabe hits, you know?
Yeah. The Queens of the Stone Age have killed album openers consistently. We're talking about stuff like Millionaire. We got the great one off Era Vulgaris. Turn on the Screw, which is great. That's an amazing track. I think Like Clockwork opens up really strong with Keep Your Eyes Peeled.
Yep.
The Feel Good Hit of the Summer off of Rated R. I mean, that's like their mantra right there. So, you know, there's always, I think, a pretty strong track to open these things up. And I think that Feet Don't Fail Me Now is just classic Queen sound, man. This thing builds excellently and just locks into a sludgy groove that I think is sorely missing from a lot of the songs on this record. Let's play a little Feet Don't Fail Me Now. See if we can find the sludge right about here. I mean, that's awesome. That's exactly what I go to this band for. That buildup is fantastic. I love those graveyard, scrapyard sounds that are going through the opening here. When the groove kicks in, it's tight, it's dirty, It's danceable. It is swagger inducing, man. It's super good. This track is a great one. Really good.
You're saying this track induced within you a swagger?
Yeah, it's swagger inducing. I started walking down the street, kicking my hips out, throwing my elbows. Man, it's really good.
I was wondering what was wrong with you this whole week.
Yeah, that I was walking around town like a lunatic listening to this track nonstop.
Yeah, I think this song also does a great job of, you know, I feel like a lot of their albums are these sort of like twisted pieces of Americana, or
yeah,
like a classic rock hero who you're like, the song is almost about what happens when he's not on stage versus being a rock star, you know?
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah,
he's more interested in writing songs about hangovers than parties.
Yeah.
And I think Feet Don't Fail Me is like a really good illustration of that. I think it's a really good illustration of the way it's kind of a horror rock song. Like, this is a horror rock album, I think, or at least it's trying to be.
Yeah. Gothic.
And the synths do a great job of recalling a lot of the 80s horror stuff that I think they're probably drawing inspiration from.
Yeah. It's got sort of an Era Vulgaris vibe to it too, right? The way it's so robotic. Like some of the big singles off that thing, like Battery Acid and Sick Sick Sick, you know, those just constant repetitive riffs.
Yeah.
And again, I feel like that attitude, that style is sorely lacking on this record. And that's something that I love to see these guys do.
Yeah, I think that's my number one complaint, actually, is that unlike what's it called? My God, is the song. What's the album called?
Like Clockwork.
Like Clockwork. Unlike Like Clockwork or Era Vulgaris, or, you know, pretty much any of their albums, save for maybe the very first one, none of these songs are built on like a big sort of monumental riff. You know, it often feels like they have sort of like one riff going, and then they'll kind of change gears partway through a song and shift to a different tone and a different pace. And I never felt like there was a song on here where it's just like, oh, here's this really big moment. Here's the My God is the Sun moment where this guitar riff is going to be what carries me through this whole thing. And I'm just waiting for this to come back up, just waiting for the build up to that moment. I felt like there was just a lot of sort of grab bagginess happening. A lot of like subpar riffs that just kind of flit in and out of each song.
Yeah. I totally agree with you. You know, My God is the Sun is the keystone on that record. It is the centerpiece. That is a power desert riff from some graveyard in the middle of California. And there's no moment like that on this record, which is, I think, why it feels more, you know, low key. Yeah. I think the ends, the front and the back of this thing are pretty strong, but the middle is where it really lies low. Well, let's jump maybe to the other side then, because the closest thing to that, I think, is still The Evil Has Landed with some guitar work in this track. It's not as, you know, four on the floor, 180 miles an hour, like My God is the Sun or Go With the Flow is. But I think this still is some of the best guitar work on the record. Again, groovy, danceable, tons of fun. Let's play a little from The Evil Has Landed. I think the guitar work there is awesome, and Josh Homme's got an amazing falsetto vocal performance on this thing. He's always great in the falsetto range, but the combination of those two here works really well. I like that the song is 6.5 minutes long, and a lot of it's just kind of guitar playing. I love when that can happen, and it's a great song here.
Yeah, he's an amazing rock vocalist, and whenever he's written a song that allows him to really explore the range of his sort of like beleaguered kind of falsetto and his kind of weird, I'm like a crappy half hungover Elvis kind of vibe. It's like really, it's really fun. I think that track does have some of that in it, but I do, at least for me, I find the production is a little too pristine. It's a little too much of a like, I don't know, clean stadium rock friendly kind of song. I'm not getting the same I don't know, like dirtiness that I want out of a Queens of the Stone Age single.
Yeah. Okay. I think that's fair.
I can't get this idea out of my head now that the little devil on the album art here is Mark Ronson.
Hmm. Symbolism. Man, I feel like that's not the case. I want to give him the benefit of the doubt here because I can trace a lot of the ideas on this record to previous, you know, tracks and other moments. It doesn't feel like it's been neutered,
right?
But you know, there is sort of a lack of that heavy bassy quality. And you know, I'll say, I was into Queens of the Stone Age before my taste in music had really expanded. You know, before I knew what more critically acclaimed music sounded like or what good rap sounded like at all. Just for an example, right? I was pretty in a niche there. And so I was maybe confused or concerned that my enjoyment of Queens was more so due to my lack of exposure to other stuff. But going back and, you know, you and I both listened to a lot of their other albums this past week. I think that a lot of their other stuff still holds up really well. And especially like Clockwork, you know, that's an album that still, I think, rocks from start to finish. And even though there are slower moments, it never loses the mood or the energy. It's a really compelling piece of music. And this, for me, is just continually I go back to it. And I just, there are flashes of interest here and there. But the middle is just so flat and so uninspiring, and there's very little urgency to the kind of message that they're spreading here.
Yeah, I mean, like listening to like Clockwork again, I was reminded of how much fun it is. You know, like for as dark and as sort of trudgy as it can get, it so commits to its aesthetic. It's got such like a narrative aesthetic to it that it really goes all in on. And I really appreciated the way that some of the slower, heavier songs are actually some of the most satisfying, you know?
Yeah. It's not, If I Had a Tail.
Yeah. If I Had a Tail is amazing. It's got some amazing guitar work in it.
Calopsia.
Calopsia is great too. And in this album, I just don't necessarily feel that's the case. I do think there are some interesting moments on the album that actually, that sort of, like, I'm happy enough letting some of this stuff fly by.
Yeah.
Like a track that sort of goes nowhere, like Domesticated Animals, that's just sort of hanging out. It's roots are pretty weak, I think. But I like it leading into Fortress. I think Fortress has some interesting moments on it. I think it's got a great chorus. I enjoy it.
In a lot of ways, Fortress is the most straightforward song on the record. You know, like as far as traditional pop rock songs go, I think it's pretty basic. But they do a really interesting thing with the strings and the synths on this track and the way they pair them side by side. It sounds very unlike anything else that they've done before.
Yeah, and it's a space worth exploring. Like listening to those older albums, you almost get the sense that there is, you know, the first four, the self-titled through Burn the Witch, is that what it's called?
Lullabies to Paralyze.
Oh my god, I'm terrible at this game.
You're naming all the great singles though.
Those all feel like totally within the same mindset and aesthetic. And I feel like Era Vulgaris starts sort of the new version of the band. And I still feel like this is an era of Queens of the Stone Age that has potential, this more mainstream pop art style Queens of the Stone Age. I just feel like, I think Josh Homme also has a lot of great songs in him too. Like, you know, he was arguably a bigger part of that last Iggy Pop record than Iggy Pop. And there's some really great singles on that thing.
Yeah.
So I know he's got it in him. I almost wonder if this is just a straightforward attempt at mass marketing, you know?
Yeah, I mean, consider this is the Josh Homme now who's worked with Lady Gaga, who has, you know, been in the studio, like you said, with Iggy Pop, with a number of other groups, the Arctic Monkeys. You know, he's had his hands in a lot of different pots now. And, you know, Eagles of Death Metal, the Them Crooked Vultures group. Like, there's a lot of different influences that have been swirling around in just the past 6 or 7 years or so. So it makes sense that the new sound would be radically different because he's way more involved in a lot of different sounding stuff now.
Yeah. And which is totally, I think there's, we might be maybe leaning negative in a lot of these tracks, you know? But there's still some moments of interesting invention that I think come from an artist who's spent a lot of time in a lot of different subgenres. Like, I think actually the album closer, Villains of Circumstance, is it builds in a really interesting way. It does a lot of interesting things. It's really satisfying. It's one of the only moments on the record where I feel once it really gets going, once it's trying to sell me on how powerful it is, I'm actually totally on board and I'm buying into the imagery and the songwriting.
Definitely. It's an interesting track. It's almost like a prog rock tune, the way it builds and evolves over time.
Yeah.
And I like this track too, because it throws back to some of the narrative tracks on like Clockwork. I'm thinking of I Appear Missing into like Clockwork at the very end. Mm-hmm. And even though the narrative of that album is pretty abstract, you still feel a sense of closure at the end of it, that it's been building to this point and it wraps up very nicely. And I don't get the same sense of a narrative on this track, but that last closing one gives me an inkling that there could have been something like that here. That this is another, it's a great closer track. I think it makes perfect sense where it is. Interestingly, I think it was also one of the first tracks for this album written, that it was performed live way back in 2015 when they were still touring like Clockwork. So I think that's why you feel so much of that album's influence on the track, because it was performed and probably written around the same time.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Man, like there's like you said, a lot of two parts to these tracks. They are so long, going many over, you know, 4 or 5 minutes, that you get like the A part of the song and the B part of the song. And in a lot of cases, I like the B part of the song a whole lot, but they spend so much time in the A part that it's hard to still give the song the benefit of the doubt. Like tracks, specifically Unreborn Again is maybe the best example of this, where the main riff is really flat and basic and uninteresting. I'm thinking of kind of the slow parts in the back end of Lullabies to Paralyze. But man, they kick into like this mid-bridge part that's all a cappella and kind of ghostly and atmospheric. And again, it sounds totally different and it's really cool, but there's so much other stuff in the way that you can't really appreciate that.
Yeah.
Let's play a little bit from Unreborn Again. So that's the A part, and then the B part comes in about here, I think. I think the melodies and the production there are super interesting and really creative, and I would like to see some more of that, but with the track being almost 7 minutes long, it's tough to appreciate that where it is.
Yeah, isn't that like the last minute and a half of that track?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing because I was re-listening to this right before we recorded. And I was thinking, you know what? I remember this. I know what this is. I'm just going to skip it. But I thought, well, I don't know. Maybe I'll stick around just in case something weird happens.
And then something weird happens.
But at least that track kind of like find some footing at some point. I think tracks that I have maybe a greater issue with are something like Head Like a Haunted House, where it starts out in a kind of interesting way, and like you're like, okay, you've sold me, all right, we're doing this, it's a faster song, we're starting to dig into it here, and then it just kind of doesn't go anywhere with it. It like gets on the motorcycle and then just parks at a Denny's.
Yeah, I thought that song could either go two ways with you. You'd love it or you hate it. So I'm sad to hear that you hate it. I feel like that would, with its punk-like energy and sort of riff on Holiday in Cambodia, that you might be more into that kind of tune.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, I was waiting for it to build to that. Like, weren't you? Like, it starts out with that energy, and you're expecting, you're waiting for the riff to unfold. You're waiting for them to reveal to you the part where the song's going to really get there. And I don't think it does. It just, it's one of those songs where I kind of feel like the riff is almost unidentifiable. And what's there is just sort of a lot of staying the course in terms of energy.
Yeah. I think online communities have been quick to praise this track, but I'm kind of in the same boat as you. I just don't feel like it has a whole lot to go for it. It's not that centerpiece that My God is the Sun is here. It does maybe give the greatest evidence to why his nickname of Ginger Elvis is appropriate, because he's got a great Elvis impression going on here.
Yeah.
Let's play a little bit from Head Like a Haunted House. Yeah, it's fine. Like, it's not an offensive song by any means,
right.
But with a group that is known for blasting your eyes out of your face, you know, with these kind of mega riffs, I guess I expect more from this kind of song.
Yeah. Would you mind, like, skipping to, like, the last minute or so of the song just to get a sense of how it unfolds?
Do you want to hear, like, the B section they go into and, like, the bridge?
Yeah.
All right. I think this is it. Pretty standard.
Yeah, it's like there's something kind of all over the place about it, but it's never it doesn't really push your buttons at all. It doesn't really try to push any boundaries or feel particularly aggressive or offensive. It's just like a just one of those.
Yeah. And I guess that's what's frustrating about having a track or an album that is 9 tracks long, where so many of them are longer. If you end up not liking 3 or 4 of them, that's about half the album. And so It's up to the second half to really pick it up. And I feel like even the moments where this thing is brilliant, like on Feet Don't Fail Me, like on The Evil Has Landed, it's not enough of a boost up to get it on the same level as some of their other albums.
I agree. But I do still feel that this album, like if people feel that like, there was a fear that this album would be the way you used to do, or it sounds a lot like that. It doesn't, I don't think it's that. Like,
no.
I think it has other problems that maybe we wouldn't have noticed in a track like the way we used to do, but it is still a Queens of the Stone Age thing. Like, I didn't have a bad time listening.
No,
it,
same.
By any means.
I would just add it to that pile of albums from bands that have done this kind of thing before and a little bit better. And this is just, you know, more of that kind of thing, but not as good as you'd hoped it would be.
Yeah. I think
there
is
a big pile, man.
Yeah, it happens. I mean, but I think a lot of people disagree with this. I think a lot of these albums are doing very well, critically.
Yeah. I mean, that's cool. Like, good for them. Like, these guys deserve that attention and the respect. But I hope it spurs them to go back and listen to some other albums they put out. Because, man, you can get all the moods and emotions from this thing on other albums in more quantifiable, powerful examples, you know.
Yeah. How does this album stack for you against something like Spoon's album?
Yeah, I thought a lot about that, man. I think it's less because I do have so much inside of this band and I do put so much faith in them to put out good music. So I think it hurts worse. but I don't know. I've done a lot of thinking too about where it ranks in their discography, and I mean it's got to be bottom tier, but I don't know if it's the absolute bottom or if Era Vulgaris is a little bit higher than it or lower. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think it's those two in the bottom two, though.
I'll tell you what. Era Vulgaris has got 3s and 7s and it's got 666 on it. And 666 is an unbelievably good track.
It's really good. It's really good. And I think Turn on the Screw and I'm Designer are both fantastic. The downside to that record is there are a bunch of other songs on that thing that you forget about because they're some of the most forgettable in the entire discography. I'm thinking like Run Pig Run, which is atrocious, and some others on there. Yeah.
Yeah. But I at least that album has a few songs to kind of like showcase. I don't know.
I hear you.
I do genuinely like Feet Don't Fail Me. I do genuinely like Fortress and The Closer. But at the same time, I don't like them enough that
right.
I would recommend them to someone who doesn't listen to the band in a way that
yeah.
I would give someone a song like 666.
I hear that. Yeah. I'll say also that the way you used to do has grown on me tremendously since the first time we heard it. I think it works a lot better in the context of the album.
I agree with that,
and the more I listen to it, the more I like it. So, again, no disrespect to Mark Ronson here. I think any problems that exist are more the band's fault than they are the production value's fault.
Yeah, I didn't mean to maybe make him out to be Satan like I did earlier. Like, I think Mark Ronson did a lot to elevate the Bruno Mars album, like collaboration they did. Like, I think as a producer, you know, maybe he's a little maximalist, maybe he's a little pristine for my taste. I still feel like he makes good decisions and is an overall positive force in the music he works in. But for someone, I don't think they're a good fit, though, is my problem.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Queens of the Stone Age is at its best when it's really grimy and, you know, messy. Even like Clockwork, it's a more clean album, but it's also about vampires, and it almost fits because of that. Like, this to me just is just produced that way for no purpose.
Makes you want to see more Trent Reznor on production values, right? I feel like he might be cool. Get some fuzz in there.
Yeah, why not? This wasn't maybe as disappointing to me as the Japan Droids album was this year, but at least for me, I would put Villains closer to that, like, style of, like, we're a really good band who doesn't have a lot of new things to say than I would something like Spoon or Cloud Nothings.
I'm sorry, did you ask me a question?
No.
Okay. I wasn't listening to anything you just said.
Why would you? We're only doing a podcast with just two people. Why would you ever listen?
I'm too in my own head right now. Sorry.
I mean, you're just devastated. You're rended by this experience.
It's okay. I'll get over it. All right. What are your highlights, Mark? What are you taking?
I'm actually going to grab two of them. I'm going to grab Fortress, which I think is a pretty interesting single. And I'm going to grab Villains with Circumstance because I feel like it's a song that it works really well, not only as a closer that helps elevate the album a little bit, but I think it works really well as a singular piece of music that goes to a lot of places, has some really interesting writing in it, and is generally pretty successful.
I think it's a really good song. Unfortunately, it's not one of my highlights. I'm going to take The Way You Used To Do is actually going to make it. I'm going to cut it in here. I think it's enjoyable enough. Good single on its own. I'm going to take The Evil Has Landed for one of the best guitar riffs of the year, and Feet Don't Fail Me, which is the closest thing to a true blue Queens of the Stone Age song on this thing. It's a shame it comes on the first track on the album because it's kind of all downhill from there. But that thing is a monster to open up.
It's a monster to open up. Speaking of, I'm going to go get a monster from the fridge.
All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about 21 Savage and the track Bank Account. So stay tuned.
Golden Corral now opens for 7-day brunch. French toast, omelets, a mashed potato volcano? Nice. We have over 150 choices, but the only one that matters is yours. Golden Corral, your choice rules.
All right, we are back and ready to dive into the latest offering from 21 Savage. It's called Bank Account, and it's off Issa album. Mark, have you listened to Issa album yet?
It's on my list, but I've yet to get to it.
What's your thoughts on 21 Savage?
You know what? I think he's a great man who's going to do great things on this earth.
I'm probably going to hate this, huh?
I mean, probably. Like, I feel like the chances of us enjoying any of these Billboard songs is pretty low. I think our ratio is like 1 out of 10 or something at this point.
Yeah. All right. Well, it's an album. It's a single. It's a weekly beats. Here's Bank Account.
Buy a new car for the bitch, for real. I tear down the mall with the bitch, for real. You can't even talk to the bitch, nah. She fucking with bosses and shit, oh god. I pull up in Rawrers and shit, sure. With choppers and Harleys and shit, for real. I be Gucci down, Gucci. You wearing Lacoste and shit, bitch, yeah. Montclair, yeah. Furka and Mafia Bell, yeah. Triple homicide.
So there's that.
Yeah. Wow.
It sounded like he was in pain there at the beginning. Like, he was like, oh, Ow.
Ow, 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 ow. You're talking about the part where he said, ow, it hurts. Ow, ow, it hurts. Whoops, yeah. Ow. Whoops, I did it. Oopsie, ow, it hurts. You know what would be...
Unfortunately... Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, shut up. Well, you know what would be interesting is if you did a trap song where you had like a family member, an elderly family member come in and just put a microphone in front of them. You know how like an old person, when they go into a room, they talk about the room and how they're navigating it? They'll like be going like...
Wait, what? Okay, so I'm in the room now. There are three chairs. And I'm about to walk past three chairs. I'm going to continue on this way.
You've never seen that? You don't have relatives to do that?
I sure don't.
You know, you really? You've never heard like an older person go like, okay, the chair over here. All right, got to set this over here. All right, just got to.
I definitely have not ever heard that before.
Hmm. Okay, well, I guess I did grow up in an insane asylum, so I guess that probably is where I'm getting that from.
Yeah, probably.
Well, so much for that. All I was going to say was I have a lot of elderly relatives, elderly relatives, who talk to themselves.
Elderly relatives.
And is there that much difference between an elderly relative talking to themselves
and a trap star?
Yeah.
Probably not. The only line of that opening that's been annotated is the line that says, I be Gucci down, Gucci, you wearing Lacoste. Lacoste is a French clothing brand that is much less luxurious than the designer brand Gucci.
Yeah, that's fair. That's like the most bougie thing I can imagine, is someone talking smack to someone for wearing Lacoste.
Yeah. The line, yeah, Moncler, yeah, fur came off a bear, yeah, yeah. Moncler is an Italian clothing manufacturer that was founded in 1952. They are known for their sportswear and down jackets, including furred hoods that resembles bear fur. I'll say that the beat is not the worst thing I've heard so far. It seems okay.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of up-tempo, kind of energetic.
Yeah, kind of spooky.
Yeah. Of course, after a little peep, I feel like I've maybe changed my perspective on the whole trap scene. You know, I like that garbage, so what's to stop me from liking this kind of stuff? Let's press on. Let's hear some more.
Put me in a chair, yeah. Trip across the plug, we do not play fair, yeah. God. Got them tennis chains on, and they real blingy bling. Draco make you do the chicken head like chingy ching. Walking Neiman Marcus, and I spend a life 50-50. Please proceed with caution, shooters, they be right with me. 21 bad bitch, cute face, and some nice titties. 7500 on a Saint Laurent jacket, yeah. Bitch, be careful when you dumping your ass, bitch. I ain't no sucker, I ain't cuffing no.
It's interesting what he did musically there, because usually at that point in the song is when the vocals start to be a little more, like you start to sing a little bit. But what he did was just go, he just talked, but then one of the words was longer.
7500 on Saint Laurent jacket.
How many times would you have to record yourself saying 21 as fast as possible before you got it just right?
21.
21.
Fun.
Yeah, it's indiscernible. Line, slow it down.
Yeah. The line, got them tennis chains on and they real blingy bling.
Mm-hmm.
Tennis chains are a type of men's chain that are typically thin, long, and are often filled with diamonds, making them significantly brighter than the average chain or necklace.
Hmm. It's boring.
Got them tennis chains on. They real blingy bling. Drake will make you do the chicken head like Chingy Ching. A Draco is a Romanian shortened AK-47 assault rifle. The term gained a sizable amount of attention in the hip-hop universe due to Soulja Boy, who obtained the weapon for himself and wrote a track about the rifle in 2016. Soulja also wrote a diss song aimed at Quavo and the rest of Migos that once again referenced the Draco. In the music video for his 2003 hit Right There, Chingy, an American hip-hop artist from St. Louis, Missouri, incorporated a local dance craze called the chicken head. The chicken head is done by propping your arms up around your chest, bending your knees, stepping in a circle, and moving your arms like a chicken.
Wow. This is boring. This is a boring song.
Again, they're just like listing things.
Yeah.
There's no progression of plot. There's very little in the way of characterization that's not found in every other song of this type.
One of the lyrics is about how shiny an object is.
Yeah. And it's just them like citing all the brands they wear. I wear this, and I also wear this, and you wore this, so you're not as cool as me.
Yeah. Yeah, that sucks.
Walking Neiman Marcus and I spend a light 50. Neiman Marcus is a high-end American department store that's known for designer clothing, footwear, furniture, jewelry, and beauty products.
Man, this is all about pampering yourself.
Yeah. That's, again, I feel like that's kind of par for the course with this.
You know, you know how much crap like Taylor Swift got because that new single like hasn't addressed any of the criticisms about her not talking about real world problems?
Yes.
Like why is that never thrown at rap people and trap people? Like, why does no one ever throw that claim their way?
Because this is the wave of the future, Mark. In the words of Fergie, she's so 2008, they're so 2000 and late.
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Saturday to Sunday.
Yeah. I got to hear the chorus to this thing because right now I'm just floating in verse land and it's been going on for a minute now and I want to hear what it sounds like when he tries to sing. Does he sing?
I don't know. I'm interested too. Let's find out.
All right, here we go.
Action. Nah. The streets raise me. Wow. I'm a bastard. I bought a Rari just so I can go faster. Sure. Niggas trying to copy me, they plan catch a tournament. I might pull up in a ghost, no catch a tournament. I've been smoking gas and I got no ass. I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 M's in my bank account. Yeah, 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 in my bank account. I got one.
I think we broke him.
Someone reset the 21 Savage. It is broken.
We got a couple good 21s in there.
couple good 20. Oh, yeah, 21. That's true.
21.
So far, my greatest object of fascination in this song is how proud he is. And I imagine his hands at his hips, standing with a big grin on his face, saying, I got no asthma.
I've been smoking gas and I got no asthma. Asthma is a chronic disease that causes a person's airways to become inflamed and produce extra mucus, making it difficult to breathe. Inhalers, which are portable devices used to treat asthma, contain pressurized medication that looks like smoke when it's released. Gas is slang for marijuana. Even though smoking weed can't manifest asthma, it can make existing asthma worse or even bring on asthma attacks.
Wow. And you didn't, I pulled that up too. You didn't say that incorrectly. It's written incorrectly.
Right. It can make existing asthma worse.
You know, I've been reading this biography about Theodore Roosevelt. And, you know, he had asthma.
I didn't know that, no.
Yeah, he had asthma. And it was during a period of, you know, in history where people literally didn't know what asthma was. Like, they knew what it was. They knew how it manifested itself, but not why or how to stop it. So, like, the doctor literally told him, try going to France. And they flew to France. Not to see a doctor, just because they thought being in France would cure the asthma.
Did it work?
No, of course not. But, you know, they were around that time, they were starting to understand that there's a certain like psychosomatic reaction that happens with asthma where it's like it's partially psychologically driven. So they went on this European trip for a year, partially with this idea that he would be outside and not have asthma. But because there were no inhalers back at the time, when you had an asthma attack, people described it like literally you're being tortured because you don't know when it's going to stop and there's nothing to stop it. So people would assume every time they had one that they might be dead soon.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
That's brutal, man.
Yeah. And they have letters that Theodore Roosevelt wrote as a 6 and 7 year old boy where he would talk about, he doesn't really address them too much in his letters as attacks, but he does bring on like, I'm so glad I feel really good right now. And that is the exact tone of voice 21 Savage uses when he goes, I got no asthma.
He also might pull up in a ghost, no Casper.
That's true.
Casper is a fictional character and the protagonist of the show of the 1945 cartoon Casper the Friendly Ghost. The cartoon tells the story of Casper running away from home to make human friends as he is afraid of the other ghosts. He manages to befriend two young children despite unintentionally scaring several others. Mm-hmm. Ghost is also the name of the British luxury car Rolls-Royce Ghost. Despite already owning a Ferrari, 21 owning a Rolls-Royce Ghost only further signifies how wealthy he is.
He's not Casper.
No, but he does have a ghost.
Quite literally, what he is establishing in this line is that I might pull up in this really nice car, but I'm not driving Casper the Friendly Ghost, the 1941 cartoon star.
That's that excellent wordplay we all come to 21 Savage for.
Hey, Savage, sorry. Look, I know this is a weird question, but are you driving a cartoon ghost right now?
Well, he also has a Rari, which he bought just so he can go faster. In July 2017, an interview with Real 92.3, 21 shut down the original reports that Drake had bought him a brand new red 488 Ferrari for his birthday. 21 stated that during his visit to L.A., the OVO head honcho rented the Ferrari for 21 to drive during his visit, but did not actually purchase the car, in contrast to prior belief. A direct quote from 21 Savage says, "Nah, he ain't buy me no car. Nah, he just like, he did some real. We was just talking, and I was just like, man, I want a Ferrari or some. So he just got me one for the whole time I was in L.A. for my birthday. But I fell in love with the car, so I just went and bought one." Ferrari is reported to have a top speed of 211 miles per hour, making it one of the fastest cars in the world.
I am interested if he is saying "on God," as the Genius lyrics would have you believe, or if he's saying "oh God."
Or if he's saying "on guard," like Musketeer.
No, you know what? If that is what he's saying, that would make this song a new level of adorable.
All right, let's see if that really is what he's saying. Here's some more.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 shooters ready to gun you down. Yeah, 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 dog. Yeah, not for real, dog. 21. Ready about the season. I got a house in the hill, dog. 21. Wanna see about it, nigga? Get you killed, dog. Whack. Wanna tweet about me, nigga? Get you killed, dog. Whack. Kill, dog. I'm a real 21. Dog. You a little dog. Real dog. Wanna be a.
Well, that answers that. He is saying "on guard."
I got 8 shooters ready to gun you down, God. Bring it on, God. I am better than you.
On guard, God.
He's really diving into those 21s now.
21.
21.
I also like the idea, maybe, you know, I'll just throw this out there, see what you think, that what if you replaced every instance in this song where he mentions a product with just what the product is, and every time he mentions where he is, he just says a place. So, like, most of the song would be, a place, place, I went to a place. I bought a coat. Yes, I bought a coat. Would that not make the song a little bit better? Would it not make it a little more interesting, a little more exciting, that you could color in the lines a little bit?
Yeah, straight up at the place. Now got a house in the place, dog. In the other place, dog.
For real.
I like this wordplay here. Get you killed, dog. Want to see a body? Get you killed, dog. Want to tweet about me? Get you killed, dog. Killed dog. I'm a real dog. You a little dog. Be a dog. Want to be a dog. Chasing Mills, dog.
That's the first draft right there.
I'm a real dog. You are a little dog. Not like big and little. I'm a real dog. You're a little dog. So you're also a real dog, but you're a little one.
That's the worst insult I've heard in a long time.
But then he says, be a dog, want to be a dog. So if he is a real dog, why does he want to be a dog?
Well, and maybe the other person wants to be a dog.
You a little dog, be a dog, want to be a dog. But if he's a little dog, doesn't that make him a dog? He's not saying he's not a real dog.
You're right. Little do you know, but 21 Savage actually wrote this song for the Furry Con.
Yeah.
And this is just an earnest question. Would you like to be a dog?
Do you want to be a dog?
I'm a real dog and you're a little dog. It's not negative. He's just saying.
Be a dog. Gotta chase those nems, you know?
Yeah.
Let's keep going on.
dawg. Chasing meals, dawg. Don't ride in your bitch like O'Neal, dawg. Like shit, I shoot like Reggie Mills, dawg. Chopper sting you like a eel, dawg. I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 M's in my bank account, yeah. 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 In my bank account, I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 shooters ready to gun you down, yeah. Ready to gun you down, yeah. Ready to gun you down, yeah. Ready to gun you.
He's hanging out in that space again.
Well, how are you? How are you feeling about the song so far?
Man, it's exactly the same as every other song.
Yeah, that's fair.
The only interest I could have, because it's never going to be lyrical, is always going to be in the production, and every production sounds exactly the same. There's nothing that differentiates this from any other rap tune. A little mournful piano thing and some real fast hi-hat trap beat. Man, it's flat, it's uninspired. I bet a bunch of other tracks on this album sound just like this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what people get out of this stuff. I don't understand how this becomes so popular.
Well, you know, we talked before about how valuable it is to have your song modulate a little bit, or to, if it's not going to modulate, like really have like a strong hook, you know, like Black Beatles has a really strong hook.
True.
So even if you don't have a ton of great lyrical content, as long as you're not getting in the way of it, you're just enhancing it, it's a good song. And maybe I'm finding that lacking here a little bit. I'm finding this to just kind of be the same, like, this feels like, honestly, it feels like it's four bars. Like, I feel like I'm hearing the same four bars over and over again, just the same, down, 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 down. And he's just totally talking. There's just nothing happening here.
Yeah, he's not even trying to sing any of this stuff. Get a feature on this, man. Get a hook on this.
Yeah.
So you just saying in my bank account over and over again.
Yeah, on God, on God, on God. Like, that was his big idea for the song, on God. On God.
21.
I do like when he asks the listener if they would like to also be a dog, that he does throw in a little 21 in the middle of it. Just in case you forgot who it was, it's still 21 Savage.
Want to be a dog? You a dog? I'm a dog. Everybody dogs. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 dogs everywhere. I love dogs. I'm a dog person. How are you?
It's, you know what? It's pathetic to write a song where you're mad about someone tweeting about you.
I no, that's where we are now, man. That's the only thing you can write songs about.
Yeah.
You have
to
accept
it. That's what public policy and the government is for.
Right. Although, if a rap artist wants to become president, I'm sure they could probably do it. Looking at you, Kanye West.
You know, the life is a sad and trudging affair.
Do you want to leave the country?
Not particularly.
Okay.
Do you?
I'm thinking about it.
Yeah? Where are you thinking about?
I don't know. Probably like somewhere off the map, off the grid, like Romania or like Estonia. I don't know.
Well, so you mean metaphorically off the map?
Yeah. Like in a house in the hills in some Eastern European country.
Yeah. Somewhere where they will accept your wild mid-morning dance.
Yeah. I'll introduce it to everyone there and they'll all do it with me.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be a utopia. Okay, let's keep listening to this track.
Ruler clips, send a ruler hit, pull up on your bitch. She say that I got a ruler dick, spray your block down. We not really with that ruler shit. Glock cock now, I don't really get no fuck by who I hit. Yeah, yo bitch, she get jiggy with me. Keep that ciggy with me. Bitch, I'm Mad Max, you know I got Ziggy with me. Keep a Mad Max, case a nigga wanna get busy with me. Rory Matt Black, and I got a Bentley. I got 1, 2.
He's gonna start counting again.
This is the most we have to do right now. This is the verse where there's a lot.
Yeah. I'll say some decent lyrics here. It's okay.
Yeah? What are you looking at? What's doing it?
Mad Max. You know, I got Ziggy with me.
Who's Ziggy?
Ziggy is Ziggy Marley.
Who's Mad Max then?
In 2002 movie Shottas, the character Mad Max is a killer who would paint the number of people he killed in their own blood. Ziggy is David Nesta Ziggy Marley, but he didn't star in the movie. It was his half-brother, Kai Manny Marley.
It's not even right.
Ziggy is any gun produced by the Sig Sauer Firearms Manufacturing Company, Mad Christ. Mag. His wordplay on Mad Max's name, and a magazine, the part of the gun that stores the ammunition. Also, there are Mad Max movies, which have a sheriff named Ziggy.
Okay.
That seems like it's fair. Got a little bit more credence to it.
That's fair. Fair enough. I was going to say that I like the fact that he throws a little He says, roller clip, sent a roller hit. Because that just reinforces that he's like a little boy giving a speech at school.
Ruler clip, sent a ruler hit.
Mm-hmm. And then the best lyric, let's be honest, you know what my favorite lyric in this song is, but the second best lyric is whenever he says that this guy's lady tells him he's got a roller dick.
Yeah, because the average ruler is 12 inches.
Mm-hmm, but also rulers are used to measure things.
Mm-hmm. Which he uses. And also his penis is wooden and very thin. It's convenient to have a measuring stick on you at all times.
Yeah.
Because you're always like, how long is this thing? And you're like, relax, I got it. And then you just whip it out and you measure it.
Yeah. That's a pretty bad lyric.
Yeah, it's not great. And he's got a Bentley, too. How many cars does this guy have? Jeez.
Yeah.
I want to see the rap where, like, one guy is just like, I got this car, and I got this car, and I also have this car, and then I got one of these cars, and I got this car. I got lots of cars, yeah. I got lots of cars, yeah. I got all the cars, yeah. I got your car, yeah.
I drive a car, yeah. I got a learner's permit, yeah.
I learned to drive yesterday. Going out today. Going to drive a car, yeah. I want to see a red car. Yeah. I want to see a green car. Yeah. Like, I want to see that. Like, trap music where the lyrics are basic and simple. But as long as you come in with enough swagger and killer beats, like, it's really good.
Was it Weekly Beats, please?
Weekly Beats. That's our spinoff, Killer Beats, where we watch horror movies.
Why can't any of these trap artists be talking about how they own a Prius?
I got that Prius. I don't pay too much for gas. Yeah. Buying all the stuff with the extra money I have. Yeah.
I can parallel park really good. Don't need to think twice. Pop open that hood. Yeah. That the oil is still really good because it's got a lot of oil to hold. And it drives really well. Yeah. And it tells me if it's getting old. I took it to the mechanic and he told me it was fine.
Hot.
I'm going to drive down the street and have a good time.
What? Can I be your hype man when we do that?
But can you be a hype man that just says things like, nice one.
Nice
great
one.
Job.
High five.
Hey, I like that part.
You're my brother. I haven't slept in 2 days.
I want to see the hype man who's going through a rough patch.
Why am I here? Do you love me? Are you my mother? Where are my parents?
My career is yelling things at you. My dad thought I'd be a doctor.
I shaved my head yesterday. I have no control. 21. He's just crying for the back half of the track. He's just laughing quietly. Yeah, man, this genre is ripe for some good parody, man. Let's see it.
I think that's what we're here for.
All right, look for us to drop our Parody 8 rap album next week. We got two more plays, Mark. Let's finish this thing off.
3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 M's in my bank account. Yeah, 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 in my bank account. Yeah. In my bank account. I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 shooters ready to gun you down. Yeah, 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 ready to gun you down. 7,500 on a Saint Laurent jacket. Bitch, be careful when you.
Good callback. That was
I still own a jacket.
Lines. 10 more seconds, Mark.
Dumping yo action. I ain't no sucker, I ain't cuffing no action. The streets raise me, I'm a whole bastard.
Did you know that 21 Savage's username on social media is Saint Laurent Don? And he's been seen wearing the product numerous times.
Oh my God! Stop being an advertisement. Like, stand for anything. Have anything to say.
He is standing for Saint Laurent jackets. That's what he's standing for.
Oh my God! Does that bug you at all?
That their entire thing is just, I have wealth and you don't?
Yeah, but like, it's not even just that. It's not even just power play. You know, he's like, I like this product. Buy this product. It's a really good product. I'm rich enough to buy it. That makes me a good person.
Like I said, there was a few months ago where I was listening to one of the Billboard tracks and I just was praying for the uprising of the bourgeoisie dismantling modern trap music in the way that the French peasants in the revolution rose up and decapitated their kings and queens. I hope that someday a similar thing happens to what is popular in the trap world.
Wow, that's really dark.
I know, man. I was in a bad place. This music puts me there.
Yeah, you were the sad hype man.
Yeah, I was. I don't think I've recovered all the way yet.
Couldn't afford gas today.
Still ain't afford gas. Can't drive my car. Walking to the store to get some beans. Yeah. Not enough money to fill up my tummy. Yeah. Gonna eat my foot later tonight. Yeah. Wonder how much I can go on before I get sickness. Yeah. Gonna pass out in the city sewer. Yeah. Hope somebody find me or else I'm dead. Yeah. That was based on a real experience. I did actually pass out in the city sewer one night. Wrote that song when I was laying down there. Someone did find me, which is why I'm here to sing a song for you today.
And as the camera pulls back, we realize he's just some guy on the side of the road. He's just talking to strangers who are walking by.
But he's got a whole bunch of money in his cup.
And then, yeah, zooms back in, crash zoom into his face. Wink.
I'm not going to take that song on my best tracks of the year playlist, Mark. It is not coming with me.
I'm pretty sure I already did. The last three or four trap songs, I think I've filled my quota of the song.
Yeah.
I was surprised to hear it one more time, but I don't think I need to have four of them.
That's quite a bit. Mm-hmm. Does this give you more excitement to check out the album or less excitement?
You know, I'm disinterested now. To be honest, I really hate the product stuff.
Yeah.
Even more than all the stupid, like, talking yourself up, talking about how powerful you are, how rich you are. I hate more than anything feeling good about advertising in your music, and that's what you stand for.
It's that capitalism, baby.
Yeah, well.
Gotta spend some to earn some, you know what I mean?
Spend money to make money.
That's it. It's capitalism, what baby.
Okay, new idea. Trap song about responsible fiscal lifestyles.
Yeah, I like that. I take my weekly pay and I put some in savings. Gonna ratchet up my 401k. Gonna retire at 48. Yeah, hope that I can buy a nice condo. In the beach when I'm feeling responsible. Yeah, gotta buy a boat to ride when I'm retired. Yeah.
Wow, that's not responsible fiscally at all. You're look at all these large expenses. You're a young man, 21 Savage.
Gonna stay in tonight, not go out. Yeah. Gonna eat something really healthy and cheap. Yeah. Gonna keep eating what I can. Yeah. Not gonna spend money on booze. Yeah.
You know what? I can sense you're feeling a little stressed out. Why don't you just count to 10 for me again like you do?
I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Good job. Good job, 21 Savage. You did it. Good job.
All right, you want to move on?
From this earth?
Yes, please. Mark, what else have you been listening to this week?
Well, like you... I like Queens of the Stone Age stuff, but there was one other album I did listen to this week other than that.
Okay.
I listened to Call It Love by Brianna Morella, which I actually thought was really solid. It's pretty ambient pop album, and there's been a more than a few of those the last few years. Every year we get like another half dozen or a dozen, but this is a good one. She fills the empty space with a lot of good vibes and does a lot of good. She's a really good vocalist. If you just do me a favor and pull up the album and look at the album art and tell me it's not terrifying.
I was going to say, it looks like she's like in a shower, like with like the screen that's been fogged up, and she's like getting a little closer to it and like looking at you with her evil eye.
She looks so mad.
Yeah.
I listen to this and I feel uncomfortable because I think she is so mad at me.
It's nice and fuzzy.
Yeah. You know what? I don't even need a clip. It's a good album though. Lived up to the hype for me. And the other thing I listened to was Stuff I Used to Do, which is a Deadmau5 compilation of a lot of older versions of stuff from his last album and some stuff he threw up on his SoundCloud account that never made it onto anything else. And,
yeah.
That was pretty fun. I think Deadmau5 is, it feels almost as if his career is sort of ended, but I could go for more Deadmau5. I hope he keeps with it. I think the last album was good, and I think some of this new stuff that he is on here is pretty strong too. There's a good song on here about making the little pinhole thing to look at the eclipse. It's this really strange beat and just this woman explaining about making a pinhole lens that I like.
It's very timely. That's cool.
Yeah.
All right.
And there's just all the Queens of the Stone Age stuff, my man.
You want to talk about that?
Yeah, let's talk about it. You listened to everything too, right?
Sure did. Every single album.
All right. I didn't listen to all of them. All right. I only made it up to the fourth album, so you know, be gentle.
Just quick and dirty. That first album's really good, man.
I never listened to it before.
It's super good.
Yeah. I you know what? I like it. It's not what I expected at all.
Yeah. It's way I don't know, moodier, more sinister. I don't know. It's kind of, it's hard to explain. Yeah.
It's like less, like, it's less friendly. It's less like riff driven.
Yeah.
You know?
It's more moody.
I feel like it's actually, well, like every album after this, which is like a little more produced, a little more like, you know, you could hear it on a radio station, alternative radio station.
Yeah.
I feel like this is actually what those songs are, or those albums emulate. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I feel that. We talked about great opening tracks, man. How about Regular John on this one, man? Just hammering on one chord for the entirety of the verse.
It is a really strong opening. I'll give you that.
I think If Only is really great on this thing. Love the riff in How to Handle a Rope.
Mm-hmm.
Let's play a little bit of that. I mean, that's monstrous right there.
Yeah. Yeah. And I found myself missing Nick Offerman.
Yeah. Ron Swanson.
Oliveri. What's his name?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay. I ended up missing his presence, actually, listening to the newer stuff, because I forgot what he did to those albums.
Yeah, definitely. I think you feel his presence a whole lot on Rated R, which is another great album.
Oh boy, do you. I loved Rated R.
Yeah?
I had never listened to Rated R before.
Oh man, there's some great stuff on here.
Yeah, just the singles for me. And listening to it as an album, it's really good.
Yeah. What are your highlights? What do you got on here that's great?
Oh man. Well, okay. So obviously the singles I've always liked, but there are songs on here that surprised me with what a variety of tone and sound this band had in the early days.
Like, it gets
not
weird.
At all, like, it gets super weird. In the Fade is a really good song.
That's one of
my favorites. I didn't think Queens of the Stone Age would ever write.
That's one of my favorite songs. Yeah, it's really good.
That's really good.
And you get that great Mark Lanegan vocal feature on there. He's been on almost every one of their albums. Unfortunately, not on Villains. But I love his grovelly skeleton bellow on the chorus and In the Fade. Let's see if we can pull that up.
Yeah.
It's such a good tune.
Yeah, it's amazing. Way more emotionally resonant than the stuff they usually make.
Yeah. But you also get some more instrumentally driven tunes like Better Living Through Chemistry and Tension Head. Mm-hmm. You get I Think I Lost My Headache, which evolves into like a little like brass band tune by the end. And like you wonder at what point that happened because you didn't feel it switch over until it happens.
Yeah.
There's some really cool stuff. So, like, I think this is the most hodgepodgey kind of record they ever put out. It's like the most diverse in sound, but mm-hmm. there are some real strong songs on this one.
Yeah, this is my favorite album of theirs now.
Wow, that's interesting.
Because I feel like every moment of it is so smart. Like, there's a level of like witticism to musically to this. Whereas, like, when you start with something like "Feel Good Hit of the Summer," which is such a metal head, like heavy song that I was already familiar with, and then going straight into "The Lost Art of Keeping a Secret," which has this like almost like drugstore like background music kind of like bells to it, and Josh Homme's vocals are really weird and not at all what you would expect from a band that would make a song like Feel Good End of the Summer.
Yeah,
it's like awesome. It's just every track on here is so worth exploring.
Yeah, man, it's great.
Yeah, I was having a great time. I listened to Rated R. I would have listened to more, but I wanted to listen to Rated R more, so I didn't listen to as many albums as I wanted to.
Yeah, that's awesome. We've already talked about Songs for the Deaf on the...
That is for you.
Yeah, that is. On the Back to School special. Any new feelings on that?
So I actually did. Like, that was the only Queens of the Stone Age album that I ever bought.
Yeah.
And it was the one I knew the best. And, you know, I always kind of felt like, some of these album tracks, like, I can kind of take them or leave them. I think, like, The Sky Has Fallen, Six Shooter, I can really do without. But I still don't love it all the way through. Like, I still think those moments are the weaker parts of the album. Like, they do, it does get a little slow. Mm-hmm. I find myself missing the highs and the lows are too low. But the radio aesthetic is maybe my least favorite aesthetic they've done. But I actually appreciate it a little more now, having listened to every album and realizing, like, wow, all of these albums have a through line that is specifically American. And, even though I think it gets this sort of like all these radio DJs sort of enter periodically throughout the album to interrupt the songs to talk about what's going to come next. It's sort of this big parody thing. Even though I do think that gets in the way of the music, I appreciate what it's doing at least now.
Yeah. I think we came to the conclusion that it's not as solid as I like to believe it is, but I think it's still my favorite. I think the singles in here are just massive, and I think it's when it hits the hardest. I mean, some of the tracks on this thing are just massive. Song for the Deaf in particular is punishing in how heavy that thing is.
Go With the Flow is a flawless rock song.
Yeah, man. That's really good.
You know, if I have problems with the albums, I do not have problems with the singles in it. Like,
and
no
it's
one
less...
knows...
Sorry,
it's so complicated and interesting. Go With the Flow is just perfect, though.
It's a bullet to the brain, man. It's so short and concise and does exactly what it wants to do. It's a really good tune.
Yeah.
All right, what about Lullabies to Paralyze? I'm interested to hear your thoughts on this one.
So this I could have maybe listened to some more. I'm not done with it yet, I don't think.
Okay.
But as far as first impressions go, I did find Nick Offerman missing a little bit. I did miss the like bizarre angry metal interludes.
Right.
I think that guy just added a level of viciousness to the band in and out of the songs he does vocals for that I think are maybe missing. But I do really like the through line in Lullabies to Paralyze as well. I really like where the songs end up going. And even though I think Josh Homme has a tendency to maybe write songs that are maybe smarter before they're good, you mm-hmm. know, like committing to an aesthetic before committing to a really good song.
Yeah.
I had a really good time listening to this so far.
Yeah, I think that one is an album that you feel its length more than other albums, that there's a lot of tracks on there that don't land as well. Like I said, the back half kind of reminds me of the middle part of Villains. But I really do like the evil storybook kind of atmosphere they've established there, like Grimm's fairy tale kind of world. Lots of songs about folklore and, you know, witches and wolves and all manner of frightening things in the dark. There are some really cool moments on there. I think Someone's in the Wolf is really great.
That's a really funny thing to call a song.
Yeah. And Burn the Witch, I think, is a flawless rock tune. I think that thing is with like the cowbell intro, that like ding, 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 and then just the riff, do, 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 do. I think that thing is monstrous. I love that track so much.
Yeah. I like Tangled Up in Plaid. I think this album is funny. Like, this is when they start to slide into their, a little more of their sarcasm. I feel like they've always been kind of sarcastic, but this is when I think you start to see the switch where the energy of the band is changing. They're less direct now.
Yeah, I think that's true. Would you agree with that? Yeah, definitely. There are a lot of really slow moments on this thing too, like light in a way that other albums haven't been on the back half. Like, I Never Came, I think, is really nice. You got a killer scene there, man. Long Slow Goodbye is really good. There's some interesting stuff on this. Yeah.
Yeah.
Underrated as an album.
So did you make it to Era Vulgaris?
I sure did. I told you I listened to them all. Era Vulgaris is great, but I think it's still one of the worst albums they've put out, just because it is so wildly inconsistent. There are some huge highs on there, but also some big misses. Into the Hollow is on this one. That's a track that I always think is on Lullabies to Paralyze, because again, with like the hollow and the kind of whispery vocals there, it feels like it's very much of the aesthetic of the previous one. But the last three tracks on here, River in the Road, Run Pig Run, and Suture Up Your Future, I think are pretty flat and uninteresting. Threes and Sevens, amazing. Make It With You, amazing. Although that's from a previous Desert Sessions album, not necessarily from just this track or this album. It's just inconsistent. There are some really experimental, bizarre moments on it, and it's great, and it can really go on a tear when it wants to, but I do think it's the most inconsistent album they've put out.
Interesting. I'm actually really excited. I'm like genuinely excited to jump in. I've been having a great time. Basically, until the LCD Sound System album came out, I was just listening to these, and I really, really like Sick, Sick, Sick.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It reminds me of that Radiohead album, not King of Limbs.
The most recent one?
No. The one, it's after In Rainbows.
Not King of Limbs?
Oh, maybe I'm just getting King of Limbs wrong. Oh my God. But there's that Radiohead album that has like some really great moments on it. It has those two great songs at the beginning, but is not at all consistent. Okay. Oh no, Hail to the Thief. I'm thinking of Hail to the Thief.
Oh, right.
I'm wondering if it's going to be a Hail to the Thief situation.
Yeah, that's interesting. When I think Hail to the Thief, I think more of a hodgepodge of styles for Radiohead. Like that lacks kind of the through line. So maybe more like, I don't know, Rated R, but Rated R is better than Hail to the Thief. I don't know. Yeah, I think that's a good comparison. I like that.
Rated R is real good, though.
Yeah, man. I think you like it more than I do. That's cool.
I had a great time.
You didn't get to like Clockwork?
No.
Okay. I still think that's super good. And I understand that people might lack for the heaviness of it and that it's more melodic and, like you said, vampiric, more song like swoony, but I think the implied narrative there is super good. I can't overemphasize how important a comeback that album was for me. You know, coming in 6 years after the previous one, that's a lot of time. And I think they knock it out of the park. I think it's full of mood and atmosphere. I love, like I said, Calopsia, and I Appear Missing is immaculate. Like it's loaded with good stuff, and even a track like Smooth Sailing, which is a deep cut on the album, it's got this like swagger and this awesome guitar solo in the middle of it, and like you said, it's not a song about the party, it's the song about being completely sloshed trying to walk home from the party and you can't stay upright because you're barely functioning as is, right? And you're just thinking to yourself, it's gonna be smooth sailing from here on out.
Yeah,
it's a great track. I love that album.
Yeah, I'm excited to revisit it now, knowing more about the band.
You've got the whole background now. Now it's all clicking into focus.
Yeah, it's a great, like, I also finally understand that awful, very bad, terrible font that they used for so long. Like, why that is, like, actually kind of important to their aesthetic. Like, why all of their, initially, all of their album art was totally, like, like crappy looking. It looked like you would find it in like the back bin in like a record store from something someone never bought.
Because that's
like,
their inspiration, man.
Exactly. That's what they're pulling from. And they do, but it's like so smartly done. It's I almost feel like they're like Robert Rodriguez or something, where they're so they love that aesthetic so much and they're so good at recreating it that they are that. They're not that aesthetic, and they are that aesthetic all at once. They're not just referential, but they also exist as the thing they're referencing. It's very good.
Man, one of my favorite bands. Like, seriously, there was a time when I was working minimum wage at a fast foods station and just morning shift working by myself, popping my headphones and just put their songs on repeat or on shuffle and just listen through them all over and over again. I love them. They're great guys.
Are they great guys?
I would expect them to be. I mean, I don't know. They're villains, but, you know, they're kind of like cool villains.
Yeah. There's the band has a like sexy unsexiness to them.
Yeah. But there's something to be said, too, about pulling that off like successfully, right? Like being cooler than school, but actually being cooler than school and not trying too hard to be cooler than school is really hard to do. And I think they pull it off really well.
Yeah. And like they make like they indulge in these really like meat-heady kind of, you know, like fist first rock tracks, but they're also smart about it. Like they're smarter versions of that, you know?
Yeah. It's in the name, right? They're not the kings of the Stone Age, they're queens of the Stone Age, because why be more masculine than you have to?
Yeah. Wear your makeup like a man.
Yeah.
So says James Murphy.
It's like if the glam rockers just got lost in the desert for 20 years and did a bunch of peyote and came out the other side.
Yeah.
Also, this artist they got for these latest albums, Boneface, he did the Like Clockwork album cover and the Villains art. Man, it's really good. I like that aesthetic a lot.
Yeah, and I feel like it fits in pretty nicely with Era Vulgaris, too.
Yeah. Good stuff, man. Good stuff. All right, well, you know, keep listening if you have a chance. But if not, that's okay, too.
I definitely will. After I get another 12 listens of American Dream in. But, like, where would you put the Iggy Pop album? I almost consider that more a Josh Homme album, I should say, than an Iggy Pop album. Where do you put that in relation to the Queens of the Stone Age stuff?
I didn't like it as much. It felt a little too stilted for me. It was lacking in the punch that some of the other Queens records have.
Okay, that's fair. I think it was lacking a little oomph, too.
Yeah. Well, what about them Crooked Vultures? You ever get into them?
No, not really, to be honest.
Yeah, give them a shot, man. You got John Paul Jones in the bass there, Dave Grohl on drums. It's a super group for the super groups, man. It's really good.
Okay. I'm putting it in my phone right now as we speak.
That's kind of the link in the chain between Era Vulgaris and Like Clockwork. You know, that's the one that came out 2011 or so. So it's kind of the midway point. You can see how his style starts to shift there, working with those guys. It feels Queens of the Stone Age, but it's also its own thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's cool.
Great.
All right. Cool. So I've got just a couple of things on my list that I listened to. I listened to the latest album from Brand New, Science Fiction, which they dropped kind of surprisingly. You and I both saw Brand New in concert last year. I think they were hyping up this album back then, and it's finally out. And consensus on this seems to be very positive. I'll mention that I'm not explicitly a Brand New fan. I don't hold their albums in a particular spot in my heart like I think a lot of their fans do. But this album's okay, man. It's not bad at all. There are some pretty decent singles on here. They got some of that Modest Mouse guitar going on, which I like quite a bit. I want to play a little bit from a single, Same Logic / Teeth, that I think is pretty good. I think it's pretty good, man. I like the when they get into that Modest Mouse, you know, sound. Really good.
You just like Modest Mouse.
I just love Modest Mouse. But I think these guys do the emo version of that pretty well. Not that Modest Mouse can't be emo in places, but they notch it up. It's less about cosmic existentialism and more about just personal demons and struggles. And I think it works pretty well here.
Nice.
And if it's their last album, man, I think it's a good one to go out on. You know, not that I, again, can speak, not being a huge fan, but cool for them. I also listened to the latest album from The War on Drugs, A Deeper Understanding.
Oh, I've been meaning to listen to that. How is that?
Are you a big War on Drugs fan, Mark?
You know, I found their first album to be, like, I had a great time with it. I thought it was a very good album, but I did think people went a little too nuts over it.
Yeah. People seem to love these guys.
Yeah.
And I get, like, looking for the last great American rock band in an era where that it doesn't really exist anymore. And these guys definitely pull on classics like Springsteen, and his vocals sound like Bob Dylan in places. So there's a hearkening back to the classic Americana sound.
Yeah.
And I sort of felt like on the first couple listens here, like, man, every War on Drugs song kind of sounds the same. You know, like they kind of do the same thing. It's that like big buildup. They're long. It's about getting that just release of emotion. But if you're doing that for an hour straight, does it really land the same way? And so I'm working my way through A Deeper Understanding here, trying to get to a deeper understanding of this band again and again. I'm listening to this thing. And after about listen number five or six, this thing clicked into place. And oh boy, did it click into place. This album's really good, man. This thing is really, really good.
Ooh, okay.
Give it some time. Give it some patience. But man, there are some crescendos and some moments where it's immaculate what the sound they get together on this thing is.
Okay.
I want to play one little taste of it for you, okay? There's a song on here called Nothing to Find, which is immediately a big blast of California sunshine, right? And it's just like bright and happy, and we're just cooking along, great four-on-the-floor beat. And then about halfway through, this harmonica solo kicks in, a little snippet, and it's just like getting, you got the big bowl of ice cream from the song, and someone comes along with a big spoon of whipped cream and just splashes it right on top, and you're like, woo, woo, and it's just, you can't take it in because it's so much, it's overwhelming. Let me play a little bit from Nothing to Find. So immediately, like, you're in it. Like, here we go. Like, we're going to kick it. It's going to be a happy, good time. And let's see if we can find that harmonica. Oh. Oh. That's a moment, man. That is a moment in music for 2017, if I've ever had one.
Yeah, that sounds great.
It's really, really good, man. It took me a couple listens to get into it, but man, once you click into that sound, there's really very few bands out there that can produce a sound like that.
Yeah, I felt like that Lost in the Dream whatever did a really good job of building to those spaces.
Right.
And, you know, if they were able to sell you on it and you weren't really feeling it the first time, I feel like it's going to be really good.
Yeah, man. Give it a listen. I think it's going to be a good album come the end of this year, but we'll see.
Whew.
Then the only other thing I would listen to was I'm getting my hands wet on some LCD Sound System, Mark. You know, I will say that we are 3 days past release of American Dream, and I know you've been all up inside of that thing since it released. You've been eagerly anticipating it as badly as I had been Villains. No, that's a lie. You've been more anticipating this. This is the most important album of the past 2 years for you. And I am unique in that I have not listened to an LCD Sound System album the whole way through. That I know some of the singles and the songs and what you've played for me, but I do not have the experience with a full album. So I got into a little bit of the self-titled. I listened to a little bit of This Is Happening, trying to get my feet on the ground for me before I go straight into the American Dream here. And can't give you any thoughts. I think I'll wait till next week to talk about that with you. But I am very excited to hear what this thing sounds like.
Oh, you don't want to get into the older stuff right now?
No, because I don't really have fully formed thoughts yet. I've only listened to them sparingly, you know, not enough to really give you any thoughts.
Okay.
So if give me I can some make more a time. Hold your horses.
If I can make a suggestion, I would say if you are looking to jump in, like as far as albums, Sound of Silver is the easiest jumping in point.
Yeah, that's what I've heard from people.
Okay. Who have you been asking?
Just, you know, spirits. I have seances every night asking, how do I listen to LCD sound system? And the table will shake, and a homemade Ouija board will vibrate and spell out Sound of Silver. So that's what I've been going with.
Casper shows up.
Yeah, he... Casper actually does, yeah.
He does some work on the 1-2-2s.
Right. He offers me the chance to ride him around like a car, and I always say no because I've got my own ghost, and it's not Casper.
At what number savage are you?
Probably like a 13 or a 14.
Oh, that's really hard to say fast. You really screwed yourself there.
13.
13 or 14.
13 or 14. Savage. we should also mention, I think, very quickly, we know that Taylor Swift has been up to a whole lot. We have made her do some things recently, and she's got already a second single out, and we definitely want to talk about that. But let's talk a little bit about what's going on next week, and maybe we'll make sense as to why we're going to wait to be ready for it then, okay?
Yeah, fine.
All right, so the deal is next week we're going to talk LCD. We're going to talk American Dream. The day is finally here. And I think we're going to have possibly some guests on if we can arrange it the way we want it. So talk about Taylor Swift with them. So look forward to that.
I'm looking forward to it. You should be too.
Yeah, I mean, why not, right? I got something else. The Billboard said a little, you're welcome this week, Mark. The Billboard did a great thing for us.
Okay.
Because the song we're going to talk about shot up from slot 24 to slot 10. And it's a great song to discuss with some friends here. It is Rake It Up. Are you familiar with Rake It Up?
What? No, not at all.
Okay, well, the artist that sings it is Yo Gotti.
Oh my God, that is a perfect moment. Are you serious?
So sometimes the Billboard gods are good to us. We have suffered through many a weeks of... little boy singers and country music stars and plenty of trap artists, but our good friend the evergreen Yo Gotti has arrived with Rake It Up featuring Nicki Minaj to discuss on the Billboard pick of the week next week.
Oh boy, that is exciting.
So we got LCD, we got Yo Gotti, we got some new Taylor Swift, and the year of music continues, man. It's getting crazy.
Oh, this is great. You know, I you're correct in saying that I haven't been this excited about an album in a really, really long time. This is like, you know, the album dropped, like 3 days before we recorded this. And I've already gotten like 7 full listens in. Like, it's just
cow.
On all the time. Like, and every time I get something new out of it, there's about a million things that I want to say. But I want to also, I'm so curious what you're gonna feel about it. Very curious.
Me too, man.
It's you know, he said, James Murphy said that the singles that he released are some kind of a misnomer for the album. Like, the album's going to be something different, and he was being honest. The album is very different. There's a lot to think about in there, and we talk a lot about waiting for albums that are political in nature, and American Dream has a whole lot of that, so I'm excited to talk about this stuff with you.
Can you sum up your thoughts on the album in one word so far?
In one word?
Just one.
Oh, man. Creamy.
Yeah. All right, well, we'll dig into the creamy texture of LCD's American Dream next week on the show. Do your duty to your podcast. In the meantime, hit us up on the iTunes or any other social medias where you find us. We're eager to hear from you and love to do so. So get on that. Yeah, I think that's it for this week. That was a good ep.
We got a lot done this time, man. Got a lot done. We got Casper here.
He's a good ghost. He's a friendly ghost.
Savage.
21. So we'll see you next week for LCD and Yo Gotti and some Taylor Swift. Until next time, play that outro music.